Hi, it's Phil Hendry. All of the characters and voices and different people that you hear on our podcast today will all be performed by one guy, and that guy is me.
The world-famous Phil Hendry. I almost called you Sil.
That's short for Sybil.
Phil, you know what? That's true.
That's a good one, bud.
The world-famous Sil Hendry, then.
Yeah, it's a Sil Hendry show. Hey, Sybil, how you doing?
Well, why would it be Sil?
That's short for Sybil, isn't it?
Yeah, that's my understanding.
Why would Sil be short for Sybil? Why wouldn't it be Sib?
Oh, would you get out of here, Phil?
What do you mean, Sib? No, it's...
Hi, I'm Sib Hendry.
Yeah, the world-famous Sib Hendry show.
Well, I thought that was very inventive, but I thought it was very interesting that he pointed at Sybil Sil. Anyway, here he is, Phil Hendry, for whatever it's... You know. I'm
popping. Yeah, well, thank you. And have you guys been watching the convention? I guess you have.
Well, yeah, there's not been much else on, you know.
That pretty much has been taking up our time. Although, I guess I should mention why my face is the color of a beet.
No, what's going on, Mr. Sunny? Just a sunburn?
Yeah, it looks to me like you've been out getting some sun.
Well, Phil is... you're in the midst of now... getting reinvigorated in terms of weight loss and health and all of that?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of let things slip there for a while, so I'm getting back in it. But today, I went out and I walked like 4 miles or something, and it was hot and sunny,
Now, you know there's something called sunblock, right?
Yeah, no kidding, man. You ever heard about sunblock?
I'm sure that he has.
Yes, I've heard of sunblock.
You ever heard of sunblock, though?
Yeah, but son, what are you doing?
Yeah, what are you looking at?
I'm waiting for you guys to get done with it. Have you ever heard of sunblock?
Well, have you?
Yes, I've heard of sunblock.
Next time, try using some. God damn.
Yeah, your face is the color of a beet. Just like a beet.
Yeah, the same texture and everything.
Yeah.
The same texture and every... My face is red. You know how red beets are?
Phil, you said a beet.
What?
You said, you know how red beets are?
Yeah, but that's what it's called.
Okay, never mind.
Quit being a baby, Phil. Do you know how red beets are or not?
Yes, I do.
All right, then how red are they?
I'm asking you guys, do you know how red beets are?
Yeah, they're pretty damn red.
All right. My face doesn't look anything like a beet's, okay? My face is red, but it ain't like it's not beet red.
Well, you do have a very severe sunburn there. So you got that while you were out, what were you doing, jogging?
Jogging and walking, and it's a very, very hot day today. There's a lot of people down here. I went all the way down to the jetty, and then I came all the way back down to the house, and then I turned around, and I went the other way, and I, you know, did a whole bunch of weird stuff, and yeah, it was hot, you know, it was hot, and the sun was beating down, and...
There you go again with a beat. See, the sun was beating, and everything like that.
Jeez, boy, you know what, bud, what we gotta do is just reserve the first 5 minutes of the show for me to slap you around a little bit. How about that?
All right.
That, I mean, seriously... So I went out today, and yeah, I did a little bit of exercise. Speaking of slapping you around, bud, we got Mavis Leonard coming on the show later on, because yesterday she was talking about slapping around Donald Trump, right?
Yeah, well, she wants to slap Donald Trump continuously. Oh, no, I know it, Chuck Woolery.
Yes, she wanted to slap Chuck Woolery for the filth that he was thinking. I went, Chuck, that's not because I've got a problem mentally, but because of the name is so ridiculous, I wanted to say Chuck, you know?
Yeah, whatever.
All right, you know what? You guys can hang it here.
Well, Margaret, you're the one.
All right, so Chuck Woolery, what about him?
Nothing about him, but yesterday we had Chuck Woolery, and she was talking about slapping him insensible. And so I was thinking that she was going to do the same thing with Donald Trump.
No, Donald Trump is... Mavis Leonard is a huge Donald Trump fan. She's going to come on and talk about him. But the reason why I was talking about... Mavis. I think I'm going to turn Mavis loose on you, bud.
Yeah, it's going to start slapping me around and everything.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Well, you know, bud, there's no way you're going to be able to stop that.
It's not going to slap you around. I'm just telling you, man. Just knock off all of the jokes and everything. Like, it started yesterday, and it's starting to piss me off a little bit.
God, you're all serious, aren't you?
You better believe he's serious.
Yeah, I am serious.
Phil, you just went,
I know that was wrong.
Thank you. So welcome to the show here, the Phil Hendry Show. We do have traffic with Bob Bacon, and these guys got Mavis Leonard is going to be up on the show talking... about Donald Trump's tweet about Cory Booker. And the tweet was the following.
I got it right here. He said that I believe that Cory Booker is a mental midget. And
give me that. He didn't say that at all.
I got it right here.
Well, let me read it.
Don't steal it from me.
I had it originally.
Nice going, you ass.
You don't want to hold on to it.
You ass. Now I got to reprint this. I had a...
You held on to it when I was the one originally when I had it.
But I've got a point, Mr. Early. He did originally have it. You know,
get out of here. He originally had it. I was about to read the. Here, I will approximate it from memory. Donald Trump.
Well, I got it better memorized than you.
Get out of here. Donald Trump said. He said that Cory Booker was laughable. Cory Booker gave one of the best speeches at the convention.
Well, there's no question about that. Now, look, you know, Donald Trump, I find him interesting, and I may even vote for him, but he was off base on that Booker, and it was a very good speech.
Yeah, it was a good speech, and but Trump tweeted that Cory Booker was blowing it, and that he knew more about Cory Booker than Booker knows himself. Really weird.
He did what?
Yeah, he did. I swear to God, it weirded everybody out.
Yeah. He tweeted, I know more about Cory Booker than he knows himself. Very weird. And one of those really hostile kinds of tweets. Trump cannot help but be really super hostile. There's a lot of anger with that guy, and everything is personal with him, and he can't let it go, man. You know, it took him like days to get over Ted Cruz. It took him a few days to get over this. It's so... The thing with Booker was creepily personal. I don't know what that was about, General. You got to...
Well, you know, look, there's no question, you're right, that Trump is, you know, he zeroes in on an enemy, and he doesn't get off the guy's neck until he's completely obliterated. Excuse me, what's the word again?
Obliterated.
Obliterated, yes. Until the human, I should say, is completely obliterated, and then he moves on to another prey. Now, that alone... would ward you off of trying to F with Donald J. Trump.
Oh, well, you know.
Watch it, Phil. Don't think that you're all that.
Phil, yeah. You're a good guy, Phil, but you're no match for Trump.
Oh, well, okay. Maybe I'm no match for Trump, but let me tell you this. If I'm not allowed to make a comment about some guy tweeting something goofy like that, you know.
Well, you know, just have a care, as they used to say.
The guy's going to tweet out, I know the man better than I do.
And that almost sounds like a man omniscient.
Yeah, there's a great deal of omniscience about it.
You don't even know what that word means, do you?
Yes, I do. It means he's all-knowing.
But...
what do you mean, but? I read. You know, it's a little too much of taking me for granted around here.
All right, but...
Hey, hold on. A little too much about it. People taking me for graham cracker. Not graham cracker, but...
Get out of here. Graham Cracker. We're going to be back on the Phil Hendry Show with whatever it is that we got. I'm not even sure. First, we got
traffic.
Here is the traffic. Bob Bacon out on the highways and the byways. Bob.
All right, so we're right the friendly free here on the... So far, so good, but we got that in the early morning hours of yesterday. With your tail between your legs, you had your hat trapped. And if you have a rat trap jammed up the traffic, you're going to make that then. Up the shorthand freeway or down the high loop, you're going to find there's a slow going there with a weed round. And there's a weed whacker in your hacker hood. Don't make sure you got that pan boy. Boy, that pan boy is out there, too. That pan boy, that just see that car, too, pan boy. Here's, Sky Boy.
Oh, Bob, I'm not a pan boy. I'm going to be Sky Boy. I'm not a pan boy.
I was going to pan for pan boy.
Yeah, we got about right here. I'm going to pull up right here. I'm going to ding, 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 and a boom town filled with boom town pitching. Let's go to the boy, Scott, in his swing pen. I know what the word is. I got the go, 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 go,
doo-doo.
You'll love the cakes they serve and the pies, too. You like the cakes they serve and the pies, too. You like the cakes they serve and the pies, too. But you'll blimp out on Mrs. Budden's Cupcakes. Mrs. Budden's Cupcakes. They're so delicious, you will go off your diet. You'll like the pies and the cakes, but you'll blimp out on Mrs. Budden's Cupcakes.
Hi, my name is Wesley Brown, and I had Mrs. Budden's Cupcakes 2 weeks ago. She had it. There's no way in hell.
You'll like the cakes and pies that they serve. You like the cakes and pies that they serve. You like the cakes and pies that they serve. But you'll blimp out on Mrs. Budden's Cupcakes. Mrs. Budden's Cupcakes. Come on in. Lick both of them. I'm only joking.
Oh, shit. How dare you say that? I'm Mrs. Budden. Wow.
Mrs. Budden's Cupcakes. You'll like the...
Get out of here. Mrs. Budden's Cupcakes, Imperial Highway. Yeah.
Open a window.
This is Chef Charles Cedilli. As long as we talk about cupcakes and pies, I want to tell you about the world-famous Phil Hendry Show online store. If you go into the Phil Hendry Show online store, you'll find all kinds of things there. Everything from the downloads of the CDs to the actual physical best-of CDs from 97 to 2005. You'll also find, of course, the Bobby Dooley keychains. We have the coffee cups. We have the sweatshirts, tens of Beverly Hills hoodie sweatshirts. We have the J. Samuel Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirts. We have the Rudy Canosa's, your Tim Lanzarelli t-shirts, the Phil Hendry Show t-shirts, ball caps, all kinds of shit.
The Phil Hendry Show online store, right there at philhendryshow.com. Don't blow by or breeze by. Don't become a subscriber or a BSP without getting into the store, seeing what we got, and buying something.
I love going by the Phil Hendry Show store.
Bullshit.
No, I really do.
World famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California here on this Tuesday. Yeah, it was a hot one yesterday. There's no question about it. We're in the dog days of summer. What are the dog days of summer like?
Well, that's one of those disc jockey questions. They ask those questions every year. Oh, what does the dog days of summer mean? I don't know. I don't care. I don't want to talk about it, all right?
Mama Sue is the one who calls the shots. No, that's fine. You know.
Well, the dog days of summer is the middle.
Yeah, that's there you go. It's the middle of summer. The dog days are the middle. When even a dog is there's no doubt in the dog world that it's summertime, you know.
What?
Don't look at me like I flipped my lid. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, bud?
Yeah, I guess. I mean...
Oh, so you're going to make me think I'm crazy, huh?
No, you're not crazy. Yeah, that's probably right. The dog days of summer, so even a dog... What is it again?
Don't you fuck with me.
I'm not. I swear to God. What is it?
So even a dog would never doubt for an instant that it's summer.
Yeah, but a dog, are they even aware this summer?
I don't know. I don't know, and I don't care. I don't care if dogs never, if they didn't know how to tell time.
Well, they don't.
Well, that's a new one on me.
All right, anyway, welcome back to the Phil Hendry Show. Harvey Weierman is at the Democratic Convention in Philadelphia. I got to tell you something, man. It has been momentous. There's just today tuning in.
Well, it was very confused. The Bernie Sanders people, I thought, were very arrogant and extremely selfish, butting in and pushing people around. And every time someone turned around to say, "Well, even you know, do you have the time?" You know, they butt in.
Yeah, they're sticking their noses in and butting it all in.
Well, in any event...
Yeah. All right, so let's get over to Harvey Weierman in Philadelphia. And Harvey, so you were there, you witnessed all of it. Let's start at the beginning. Let's start with the Sanders people.
Yeah, well, the Sanders people were protesting out in front of the arena, and they wanted to make the statement that this Wasserman Schultz was bad news, and they didn't want to have anything to do with her. And then another thing that they wanted to do, was they wanted to get Bernie Sanders to be the nominee, because the Democratic Committee stuck it up the giggy with the Wawa brush, like I was saying.
Now, they know, and you know, Harvey, that's not going to happen.
Well, I told everybody, you know, I was in the middle of it. I decided to stay outside. And I got a couple of people to talk to me about it. And let's listen to some of these people. It was quite a...
I just don't think that Hillary Clinton's got it fair and square.
Well, there's no such thing, you know, fair and square.
I know, but she didn't get the delegates. Bernie Sanders did.
Bernie Sanders,
yeah. Sorry.
How do you think? What are you going to do when you get in the hall?
What?
What are you going to do when you get in the hall?
First thing I'm going to do is find a bathroom, and then, I don't know, probably just go find my seat.
Now, there is he sounded like an idiot, and you're right, he wasn't. I think all he wanted to do was stand outside and scream and yell, and then come back inside.
All right, and once that was done, then Michelle Obama spoke. Which speaker did you like?
Well, everybody liked Cory Booker. I thought he was pretty good, and I thought... Michelle Obama was great, and Bernie Sanders was great. The one who kind of fell flat for me...
Elizabeth Warren.
It was... which I wanted to say it myself.
No, but I was anticipating you.
Yeah. It was Elizabeth Warren, and for my money...
It was just... It wasn't very emotional.
It wasn't very... Margaret...
Margaret, will you let him... I'm sorry.
It wasn't very emotional. I thought that... you know, she...
lacked energy. I'm sorry.
God damn it.
Come on, Harvey.
Well, what is this about, anyway?
I'm sorry, Harvey. I was just anticipating you.
Yeah, well, just don't anticipate. I thought she lacked emotion. I thought that I don't think she was making her points as well as she usually does when she's in the, you know, out there and telling Trump that he's a big baby and all that stuff. But so she didn't do all that good, and I think that the other ones did.
All right. Did you get the sense that, you know, people are united?
Yeah, the whole question about this thing was whether or not Clinton was going to be able to pull these Sanders delegates around.
Let me tell you something about Sanders delegates. They're good people, and Bernie Sanders himself is a great guy. But these are people, they got to screw loose, some of these people, okay? They think that the whole world rises and sets on their rear ends, and, you know, and everybody's got to do what they got to do.
Yeah, so they don't think their stuff smells.
No, not at all. And so everybody's got to turn to them and bow, and, oh, aren't you just wonderful? And the Clinton people don't seem to have any time or inclination for that, so... How's it going to go? I don't know. Last night, it seemed like it got better as the night progressed. It seemed like it went from all that mayhem and crazy stuff that was going on outside. I finally got inside. You know, it got down to brass tacks.
They're talking about Trump? Yeah, what they said about Trump?
Well, everybody hates Trump's guts. Forget it. You know, that's the... If you want a unifier, there it is. The unifier is not Bernie Sanders. The unifier damn sure isn't, you know, Hillary. Ha-ha! Hillary Clinton. But the guy that puts it all together is Donald Trump, and he is one goofy guy. There's no question about that.
All right, we're going to have Mavis Leonard on later, and she's going to talk about some of these tweets that she read last night with Trump, and some of them were a little on the, megalomaniacal side?
Yeah, that's what the guy is.
Right. And some of them were obviously extremely dismissive, including Bernie Sanders. Now, he thought that they were going to be able to make a play for Sanders' delegates. Do you think that's still possible?
Oh, I think anything's possible. I think having spoken to half of these weird asses myself, you know, I say that with all due respect.
It doesn't sound respectful at all. Bernie Sanders may not be the nominee, but I think you should have respect for a man that motivated an awful lot of young voters. And really, I think... invigorated a party that was in great need of ideas, I think.
Okay, that's very nice. That's too bad you weren't speaking today. That what you just said there, Margaret, was better than anything I heard, with the possible exception of, well, just about everybody that spoke. And
You know something? I don't need to listen to your smart-ass comments.
My smart-ass comments?
Margaret, where are you going?
She walking away?
Sit down.
You don't have to be smart-ass about it, Harvey, all right? I'm saying that... I forget what I said.
And I forget what I said.
All right, then both of you guys, if you don't mind. So, whatever the hell. What were they saying, bud?
I don't know. We were talking about Donald Trump and everything like that, and Bernie Sanders, too.
Well, look, here's what I want to say. I know what you were saying, Mark. You're saying Bernie Sanders united the party.
Yes, he did, and you're talking about his followers being a bunch of dumbass weirdasses, and,
Well, I know. I said they were dumbass weirdos. It's not going to be redundant. That'd be like me saying that they're dumb old weirdos. No, they're dumb old weirdass. Excuse me, they're weird.
They're dumbass weirdos. Does that work?
They're dumbass weirdos. Yes, it works, Phil. God damn. So,
you know, Phil, you just take a chill pill.
Look, man, I can hear when you guys are going in a circle. So, all right. Well, Harvey, great, great work. We're going to be speaking, as I said, later on to Mavis Leonard. And we also have Kaylee McEnany coming up in a moment.
Yeah, that Kaylee McEnany, that's, I'll tell you something, she is one for the books. And I don't know why they got her hanging around. If this is the Democratic convention, all she's going to do is get everything wrong. It's wild, I'll tell you that right now.
All right, well, it was a very interesting first day. And so what's up next?
What's up next? Like, what's going on tomorrow?
Yeah, who's on tomorrow?
They're going to have on Shemp Willoughby, Doodad McGinnis.
Who are they?
I'm just making it up, man. I don't know.
Well, what do you make? Can't you find out who it is?
Is there not a program?
I'm looking around right now. No, I don't have a program. Just tell people Doodad McGinnis and Shemp Willoughby, okay? They're fine, believe me.
I'm not telling them that.
You want to tell them something? What difference does it make? You say that, you know, tell them that Harvey Wireman is going to be interviewing Shemp Willoughby and whatever that other jackass is that I said. They'll buy it, believe me.
All right, Harvey Wireman at the Democratic Convention in Philadelphia. Harvey, thank you. Enjoy yourself. I appreciate it.
Yeah, enjoy myself. You got me running. I'm running like a turkey through the corn in this thing. So,
Harvey Wireman.
So this is a very interesting convention. I don't know whether they're going to come out of this thing united or not. I saw a lot of people with their silence, tape across their mouths. And I heard a very, very interesting comment from a woman that I ordinarily despise. And her name is Scotty Nell Hughes.
Oh, Jesus, not that broad.
Yeah, she thinks she's all so smart.
Yeah, this Scotty Nell Hughes is a Tennessean. I believe she's a Southerner. And she said that she felt Bernie Sanders is really dispensable. In other words, it doesn't matter who's at the head of the movement. The movement is the most important thing. And that the idea is the most important thing. And that Bernie Sanders can be replaced.
I don't know. I think that there's something to be said.
But what does that mean, Bernie Sanders? He's the guy that created the whole thing.
No, he did not. He galvanized it.
It's like this, General. He didn't really come up with all of these ideas. People have had these ideas for a long time. The country has to be the way it is. He galvanized, like Margaret said, he galvanized the movement. He pulled everybody together because he's a great orator, because he...
He's a great what?
Orator, as in speaking.
Oh, sound like you said something else. Something dirty.
No, it didn't. It didn't sound like anything dirty.
Get up. Ow!
All right, wait. So he was a guy that could,
the kind of guy that the movement could gather around.
Yes, exactly. But what are you saying? He's dispensable?
I think there's something to that. I think there's something to the idea that the leader of, if the movement itself, if the ideas, if the philosophy, if what they're trying to get accomplished is in and of itself really the weapon and the goal all at once, then all you need is a sort of a magnetic personality to guide it. And if one fails or stumbles, then you get another one, And so Bernie Sanders, it was, I heard it said too, he needs to, kind of watch it because they'll just go ahead and replace him. And I saw those people standing there with that tape over their mouths and all of that stuff.
Well, a lot of those people are goofier than three coats of paint, as you heard Harvey Wireman say, standing there with the tape over the mouths, showing no respect to Bernie Sanders. I don't know.
I think it's probably very healthy.
Oh, you do you? Tell me why it's healthy.
Because they're expressing how they feel about it.
You know what? I don't like you getting political.
Come on, Margaret. Get your hands off him.
My hands on him? I don't like you getting all smart-ass about things.
He's got entitled to his opinion.
He's a guy entitled to his opinion? Is that what you said?
No, I said he's entitled to his opinion.
He's tied to his opinion?
Margaret, he says he's entitled to his opinion.
Okay, Phil, God.
Dang it.
All right, we'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Coming up, Chris Norton. Chris Norton's going to be joining us from Norton Explodes Entertainment. And his mother and father and a variety of other people are trying to get him involved in something healthier than making adult films, and we thought we would join in that effort. That is going to Africa and teaching abstinence, is that it?
No, that's not it exactly.
We're going to find out. $1.4 billion has been spent on teaching abstinence on the continent of Africa to stem stem the tide of HIV. Now, you can't teach people abstinence in the United States. That's not going to be successful there, here, anywhere. Let's find out about it.
How do you know?
Oh, get out of here, man.
World famous Phil Henry Show on the El Pacifico, Southern California. Be right back. Welcome back, world famous Phil Henry Show.
Are those fires still burning out there?
No, they've got, I think they got a few of them under control.
I could see them from where we live. We can, well, obviously we're down in Los Angeles, but up here, when I came here to the studio the other day, I could see them.
I saw them right out the back door of our house. What we got are fires that are in North Hollywood, I think. They're in some of the foothills up there. I don't remember exactly where, but this is something that I remember from the time I was a kid. Fires that create ash or big clouds of ash and smoke. And the next thing you know, within about 24 hours, the ash is falling on your house.
But keep that from like setting fire to something.
It's not hot by then. I mean, you're nowhere near the fire, so the ash or the embers that have blown off of that fire have cooled off and are pretty inert by the time they get to...
What?
Inert. Inert. Not active.
I'm not familiar.
Well, Dickman, who cares if you're familiar? Just look it up.
How do you spell that?
Well, you... So the fires have been subdued, at least to that extent.
But so you remember as a little boy seeing these fires?
Yeah, all kinds of fires, man. All kind. The Bel Air fire. I was a 10-year-old kid when the Bel Air fire hit, and you had movie stars getting burned out of their homes. Bel Air is a community behind, and a very wealthy community behind UCLA. The Brentwood fires. There were fires in the L.A. area. You don't hear about neighborhoods going up in flames anymore. But back in those days, when it was still pretty wild and you were still sort of partially rural, not that L.A. was a rural city by any stretch of the imagination in the 60s, but some of these wealthier enclaves bordered on some fairly dry brush and sort of high desert or chaparral kind of brush. And they didn't have fire abatement in those days.
Well, Jesus.
Now, what's that besides that? Fire abatement, you ass. What do you think he's saying?
Sounded like Bateman.
I had a...
Bill, come on.
I had to kick your ass for that, man.
I ain't say anything that dirty.
Hey, bud, you're not that funny, man.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Phil balled his fist up. He was ready to...
You're going to pop me right in the nose, weren't you?
That's right. Abatement. So what does it sound like?
Sounds like the guy's, you know, but masturbate.
Oh.
Use the flash machine.
Come on, cut it out.
Oh, not that funny.
How do you like that, Dickman?
You guys are mocking me with the laugh machine.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, so the fire abatement, they didn't teach fire abatement until...
God damn.
Well, Phil, you'd have to go bathing. Like you're almost going to molest the boy.
You know, Margaret, somebody ought to take you out and just not take you out in any sense of kill you and not take you out on a date. Just walk you outside and let you see the day. This is a day. And then when night falls, we'll take you outside, we'll see, and this is called a night. And that begins your education.
So you're saying I'm so stupid, I don't even know what a day is.
That's about right.
Do you talk much? You just went...
You know what? I would love to hurt a woman. Oh, God.
Hey, take it easy. We got coming up with us right now, Chris Norton. And Chris is on the line from his home in Redondo Beach, California. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good. I'm not so sure that I need to have any kind of... I spoke to my parents about this. And
Is he at his parents' home?
You got your mom and dad's?
No, I'm not at my mom and dad's. I'm on my way. I'm right now. I'm at a Rusty Pelican. And
So you're back at the bar?
Yeah. I what do you talk about, man? Yes, I'm over here at the Rusty Pelican, and I am going to be here for probably the next, 65 to 70 minutes.
I see. All right. So you decided that you're just going to go back to making adult films and you don't care about teaching the people of Africa abstinence.
Why would you get me to...
I got to stick with Chris on this one. This guy makes adult films.
Yeah, why would you get me to teach the people of Africa about abstinence, you know?
It's not abstinence, it's abstinence. And we thought what we would do is guide you, lead you in a healthier direction.
The directions I'm going in right now are nothing but healthy. I got two new movies coming out.
Two new movies? What are they called?
Two nude movies, man. Not new movies. Two new movies. All right.
Well, they're new, aren't they?
No, they've been sitting in the can for about 10 years, and they're finally coming out. They're new. They're nude. All right.
Well, what does it mean, they're nude?
They're not hardcore. They're nudie cutie.
They're nudie cuties. You know, I haven't heard that term in a long time.
Well, we're resurrecting it with Norton Explodes because we want to bring back the nudie cutie. And this is going to be starring Barge Wilson, who is one of the hottest studs of all time.
Is it Marge or Barge?
It's a dude, Barge.
Oh.
And Barge Wilson and Candy Cackle. And I'll tell you, these are two, they're hot, you know. And this is going to be a part of a spring release. So you want me to go to Africa?
Well, you know what? It was an ill-considered idea. What happened was it's $1.4 million that was spent to teach the people of Africa or teach the sexually mature of Africa abstinence, and it was completely ill-spent because it did really take. And I was reading this and I was thinking, are you kidding me, man? You know, we haven't been able to teach Americans abstinence.
Oh, wait a minute. Yes, we have.
No, we teach Americans abstinence or use a condom or, you know, get an HIV test before you have sex with a partner.
Well, that is true. Now, were they using any of that with the people of Africa? Do you know, Chris?
No, I don't. I had nothing to do with this.
Yeah, he decided he wasn't going to do it.
All right, so they, what was your question?
Were they teaching all these other methods with the people of Africa?
They might have, but the fact of the matter is, abstinence didn't work there any more than it works here.
Well, I think there's probably something to be said then for getting someone who, you know, might have a better handle on it, you know, on teaching abstinence, but I'm not the guy to do it because I make adult films and there's nothing... Yeah, you know, we're not going to do that. We're not going to teach nobody no abstinence.
Hey, you're over the West. You're at the where are you?
At the West. The West. What do you say?
Are you at the West? What is it? The Westy Pelican?
The Rusty Pelican.
Oh, the Rusty Pelican. Yeah. Now you said that your chair is roped off. I told a buddy of mine, Hal Vincenti, about that. Did some guy come over there this week?
Some guy? I mean, what are you...
Did a guy walk up to you and say, are you Chris Norton? So, yeah, and make questions about the roped-off chair?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that was a buddy of yours?
Yeah, Hal Vincente.
Yeah, some old dude walked up in a pair of jeans and...
Yeah, well, what do you mean, old dude?
Well, that dude's older than a lot of people I've seen in here. And he walks up in a pair of jeans and he says, are you Chris? I said, yeah. I said, so this is the roped-off stool, huh? I said, yeah. And he said... And you rope it off because your cess is all this. And I said, yeah. I said, what's up? He said, oh, I just think it's silly, you know, that you're here thinking you're all sessy. And it's that bit of a stream for you to go to. And I said...
What did he say?
He said, isn't that a bit of a stream? And
a stream?
No, it's stream.
Oh, extreme.
Yeah. And I said, no, it's not a stream. He said, you got... it seems silly. Are you really going to get cess with all these women? And I said, yeah, watch. So I lifted the rope. It got to be 7:30, and it was time. I lift the rope, and I wave the women forward. And this guy, Hal Vincente, wash as one chick after next. And I just talked to them, talked about all kinds of things. And by the way, how old is he?
My friend Hal, I forget.
He said he was 66, but...
yeah, I think he's 66, yeah.
Right. As I was talking, he had to sit down. He was holding on to his chest. And I said, are you all right? He said, I'm feeling a little bit sick, and I may need to get some S-Less. And I said, well...
You going to get what?
He may need to get some S-Less. And
X-Lax.
Yeah, what is it with you guys, anyway?
You talk like a weird-ass, man. That's why.
Oh, I talk like a weird-ass. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my.
All right, Chris. So he got sick.
Now, wait a minute. This is a very dear friend of mine. How sick was he?
No, he was fine. He was fine. I just told him. I said, go get some S-Less. And he said, thank you. And he went over to Forrest. Then he came back and sat. And he ate some S-Less and just sat there and was relaxing and was watching me as I was talking to these chicks.
He was relaxing, huh?
Yeah.
All right, well, so what was the point of this?
Well, I told Hal, go over and take a look at this clown who's got a roped-off chair. Hal wanted to go over there and kick your ass.
Are you serious, man? He's not going to kick my ass. I mean, you know, I do not believe in violence. However, if somebody wants to go, I mean, you know, my sense can be automatically turned into extreme strength. And it's very exciting to see when my extreme strength gets going, and you know, I do an awful lot of working out. You know, I try to get as much oxygen as I can into my muscle and the musculatures. You know, General.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
All right. So Chris, how did this end? So you said good night, and you're good friends there with Hal.
Yeah, very good friends. Good guy. I said happy sissy sis birthday. He said thank you very much, and I said, if there's anything we do, if you want, we can have some breakfast tomorrow morning. And he asked me where, and I said, probably if you'd like to go, we can go down to the Emperor Cafe. It was down the street. He said, let's do it. So we went down there and had a pretty interesting breakfast with, had like a Mexican scramble and a little bit of a test mess, you know. And
What is that?
A test mess. And
Wait, hold on for a minute. Did this guy spend the night at your house?
No, he didn't. I don't see. He wasn't in my house. He might have slept in his car or something. I don't know.
All right, Chris. Thank you very much, and thanks for at least making the effort not.
Well, no one told me about it, man.
So what is with your friend Hal Vincente?
I don't know. He said he spent the night.
Well, who knows where he was? He might have been sleeping in his car, yes. He might have been doing something else. I have no idea.
What was that whole... What is the... You know, you guys need to... Whose idea was that?
Well, that's about 9 questions.
I thought when I saw the story about, you know, accidents in Africa, that Chris Norton be good.
You know, in retrospect, that's the stupidest idea. It's just crappy. But hey, you know what? You can't hit all of them out of the park. Now can you? All right, coming up, Mavis Leonard will be talking with us about Donald Trump's tweets. And one in particular about Cory Booker. We come back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
World-famous Phil Henry Show with the El Pacifico, Southern California. He's coming right back.
Yeah. My Beamer's selling Jimmy Choo's. Damn.
This is Rick Sal, owner of Sal Manila's Envelopes. For 21 years, my family has specialized in making the Manila envelope. All sizes, all ready to go for you. I know your business is important to you. Our business is important to us. At Sal's Manila Envelopes, you can get the big, small, large, extra large, gargantua, or the humongous. And these Manila envelopes will put anything in there. They'll keep anything in there. Anything that tries to get out, they'll keep it in until you direct the envelope to let it out. That's right. The envelope takes direction. Sal Manila's Envelopes. We're located at 5151 Polio Drive, right down the street from Rectum Cancer University. Sal Manila's Envelopes. When you need to get it there, and you need to get it there for real, and you're not fooling around, and you really do want to get it there.
Betsy Howe now, Wilson Garden, Pennsylvania.
And the headache begins here and moves into the cranial area.
Betsy Howe now is taking new Dr. Phoebe's powder.
Well, let me try it. I don't know.
Try some of the Dr. Phoebe's.
Oh, God. It is wonderful.
3 hours later.
No, the headache's back now. So it instantaneously...
That's right.
Dr. Phoebe's headache powder gets rid of the headache right away, but it does come back 3 hours later. But the instant relief that you feel, the immediacy of the pain lifting is so incredible, you'll buy Phoebe's powder like it's going out of style. And it is. In fact, it's been out of style since 1959 when people discovered that Phoebe's powder gives you testicular cancer.
How do you feel now?
I feel great. Jesus Christ. The headache's gone. I have clear eyes. I feel I can live again.
3 hours later. Dr. Phoebe's powder. Get it in the small, itsy-bitsy, teeny-tiny container, or you can get it in the bucket.
Dr. Phoebe's headache powder. Man, I feel great for now.
Dr. Phoebe's headache powder available at Mercury Savings and Loan and at Bust Gas Pharmacy.
Ladies and gentlemen, the world famous Phil Henry Show back here. We're going to get on the line our good friend Mavis Leonard from Southgate, California. Been talking to Mavis over the last couple of days. And Mavis, how are you?
I think
turn the music down, for God's sake.
Turn that music down. I can't hear. Who's that?
This is General Shaw.
Oh, General Shaw, yeah. I'm doing all right. I'm trying to figure out, are we on the air?
You're on the air right now.
All right, and you want to talk about Donald Trump, is that right?
Well, I want to talk to you about Donald Trump's tweet, where he said...
I know the tweet. He said he thought Cory Booker... He know more about Cory Booker than Cory Booker know himself.
Yes.
I think that Donald Trump probably does know more about Cory Booker than Cory Booker knows himself, because I knew Cory Booker when he was a little boy. And he's a good boy, but he kept walking into walls and stepping out in front of cars and everything.
Mavis, this is Phil. Are you saying that Cory Booker... was slow as a kid?
I would say he was a good boy and he was a smart boy. But you had to keep an eye on him, otherwise he'd step directly in front of a bus and then look at you. He'd have his foot out, okay, and he'd be looking back at you to see if you're looking at him. Then he'd gradually move the foot down onto the pavement. If he saw a bus coming, he'd pretend like he was going to step in front of it. And I watched him one time from a window. He was trying to get the attention of another teacher. And finally, she looked at him, and right when she looked at him, he stepped right in front of the bus, but they hit the brakes.
Are you kidding me?
I'm going to make that up.
So you're saying that Cory Booker is a bona fide idiot?
I'm not saying... No, I said he's very smart.
Well, you said he's very smart, but he's obviously very rash and trying to bait people.
He's trying to bait people. So I think that's what Donald Trump is saying. Now, you're not going to get me to say anything bad about Donald Trump. That's all there is to it.
They're trying to get you to talk honestly about Donald Trump.
Hey, Bonnie says she's speaking honestly.
Look, Dickman, don't do it, all right? Don't try to tell me what I'm thinking. I love Donald Trump with every fiber of my being. And
every fiber of your being?
That's right. Every fiber of my being. Well, all of a sudden, you don't believe me, huh? Why? Is that because you can't fathom a black woman are going to love Donald Trump?
Now, wait a minute. Don't start playing the race card.
I'm not playing a race card. I am the race card sucker. Okay?
Well, look, honey. I mean, that is pretty weird, you loving Donald Trump so much.
I know, but Mavis, I know that you're doing this just to stir the pot a little bit.
Oh, get out of here. I'm getting sick and tired of people playing that. Oh, you're just trying to be contrary. Oh, you're just trying to do something different. I think Donald Trump is going to make America great again. All right?
Oh, Mavis, that is the old cliche that he's been selling. And there's absolutely nothing behind it. What do you think he's going to do for you?
I don't want him to do anything for me. I don't need anything. See, that's the whole thing about Donald Trump. I want him to be president, and he doesn't have to do a damn thing for me. And he don't have to do nothing for anybody. Just be president and sit in the Oval Office and do all that president stuff, because I'm sick and tired of people taking handouts from the government. Just like everybody else going to be voting for Donald Trump, they're sick and tired of that too. So I think that he won't do nothing, and I won't ask him to do anything.
All right, so then what's the point of voting for him?
Because I don't want some clown getting in there doing stuff that I don't want him to do. I don't want people doing anything for me when I don't want them to do stuff for me.
Now, right now, I'm looking at this where Donald Trump claims that he made money during the housing crisis, that he was excited about 2008, the housing crisis.
Guess what? They fact-checked that, and they found out that was horse dung. So Elizabeth Warren, oh, man, you know, they better retire her. The hairdo's wrong. Her pants are too tight. The whole thing is jacked up.
Elizabeth Warren is very brilliant. She's a graduate of Harvard.
Well, she ain't getting it done. And that speech she had tonight, who else said it was dull? I thought Harvey Weinman said it was dull as hell. Oh, man. I thought it was dull as hell.
All right, so we're talking here with Mavis Leonard about Donald Trump tweeting, Cory Booker doesn't know himself, something like that. He knows more about Cory Booker than Cory Booker does.
That's right.
That doesn't sound to you like a megalomaniacal...
I'm not a doctor. I would not want to, I don't want to look into the man's soul and say Donald Trump has slipped his lid, but... That all sounds about right to me. Cory Booker, I told you, he was a kid who used to...
Yeah, I know. He would pretend like he was jumping out in front of a bus.
That's right. That's right. Now, I got to get lost. We're on our way to go get some... You got that, Jimmy? Okay, I'm going to go with Jimmy now to get something to eat. What we are going to be looking for here is like a McDonald's or something like that. Jimmy, get the car now. All right. Do you want me to keep on talking?
I mean, just a couple of more questions, Mavis. You're planning on voting for Donald Trump.
That's what I said. I don't stutter.
Yeah, I know you don't, but you're saying he doesn't have to do anything for you.
I don't want no activist president like Hillary Clinton. Put it in over here, man. It's Wendy's. Yeah, every day I want Wendy's.
Hey, how are you?
I'd like to get a square hamburger.
That?
I want to get some chili, and I want a french fry, too.
Thanks.
All right, pull it around, Jimmy. Yeah, I don't need anybody doing anything for me, Phil. I'm fine. I want a president's going to sit on his can and do nothing and just sort of read the mail and take a walk and put his hands behind his back and whistle and walk around.
That's it.
Thanks very much. You got some napkins in there? Hey, Chief, how about some napkins?
President?
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
All right, Mavis.
God damn, these square hamburgers.
Okay, thanks a lot, Mavis. So,
you know something? I would say your show today is about a C+ because,
all right, General, I don't need to hear it.
No, that you've had Mavis on one too many mornings.
I gotta admit that. I don't think she had nothing to say.
Well, no, wait just a minute. She had plenty to say about Donald Trump, and this was a very specific question about Trump and all of his horse dung, and forget it.
It was a specific question about Trump and his tweets. But you know what? People who think that cat is a megalomaniac, man, all you got to do is look at that. All you got to do is look at that tweet. I know more about Cory Booker than even Cory Booker knows about himself. What does that mean?
It means that he knows more.
Yeah, he knows more. But
thank you very much.
famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.